Like, I never knew when they were going to take it, so I just dressed as a rabbit.
My evening.
I'm in sweatpants and a
All right, well, hey, let's go ahead and dive in. Let me start us off with the Lord's Prayer this morning. And again, just the reminder of the journey we've been on for the last 10 weeks together on Wednesdays, this idea of gospel transformation. It's really not the journey you've been on for 10 weeks. It's been the journey you've been on since you placed your faith in Christ. But we've kind of highlighted some things in the last 10 weeks. And just a reminder that this is going to be an ongoing process in our lives for the rest of our lives. And we're going to do something today called a wilderness travel plan. I remember when I finished residency, 8 or 9 years ago now, that there was this kind of weird letdown after residency where it was like, okay, I've been getting up every, 5 days a week for 6 a.m. and intensely being, kind of like taught the word of God for an hour, hour and a half. And then it was like, all right, all done. And then it was like, well, what's next? I was living in community every morning. And so we're going to talk about not only just gospel transformation time, but just your life in general after residency. And so I'm going to have you guys work on, as part of today, and then share in your groups what we would call a wilderness travel plan. And the reason we call it that is if you think about the story of the Exodus, where God delivered the people from Egypt, took them through the Red Sea, and it's actually alluded to in the New Testament that that's a picture of Christ taking us through from death to life in him. But where the Israelites find themselves is not yet in the Promised Land, which is the same of us. We're not yet fully in the presence of the Lord, fully restored, put back together. Now we are currently renewed and being renewed. And so for the Israelites, that was the wilderness, where God gave them daily provision. He gave them manna. He led them by the smoke, the pillar, and they followed him, but often in circles, and often it felt very dry at times. But he said that he was going to take care of them day by day. And often, in that wilderness is where the refinement came. In that wilderness is where they learned to trust God, and they wrestled with not trusting God and wanting to go back to Egypt at times and wanting to make false idols for themselves and all these different things that you've studied. That's the reality of our lives. We are not yet. We are already, but we are not yet. And so we're in this weird middle ground that is the wilderness. And so for you to keep thinking about, how do I trust the Lord in the wilderness? Because that's where we live. And so we're going to spend a little time today allowing you to work on that, but also then to process that together. So let me open us in prayer. Our Father who's in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. God, your kingdom come into our lives, our everything that is us, Lord, the dark spaces, the spaces that are yet to be fully fully laid to rest, the harms, Lord, the things that that we're still ashamed of, Lord, the things that we're fearful of, Lord, your kingdom come and your will be done in those areas. On earth, like in the everyday, Lord, as it is in heaven, Lord, would those things meet more and more in our lives and then spill out into others. Give us today what we need, our daily bread, whether that be emotionally, physically, spiritually, Lord, give us what we need as a good father. Forgive us our debts, Lord. Remind us of grace, Lord. Remind us of your finished work on the cross that we might forgive others in the same way that we've been forgiven, God. Lead us not into temptation, Lord. Help us to see the fork in the road. Help us to know that we have an old self that still calls to us, God, but that's not our home anymore. So help us to choose our new home, whether that be being free from needing the approval of others today, being free from the enslavement of false worship to other things, Lord, being free from the worry, whatever that may be in our lives, Lord, give us the ability to see it and to trust you more than that today, but deliver us from those evils, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, so last week we worked on, gave you some homework to think through amends. And just kind of, let's do a big summary recap thing, because again, we're truncating a bit of this. We would have three more weeks normally. You have a residency picture today, so even today is going to get truncated a little bit, because at 7:10, we're going to officially be done. So I'm kind of condensing even some things today, so we can do that, and then have you guys be leaving after that. So where we've been is we've been talking about a journey of grace. So we started at step one, which is admitting our need for the Lord. So if you look at John, turn with me, just John 10:10, beautiful passage from Jesus. Tucked within this parable of the sheep and his flock, the shepherd and his flock. And he's describing it. He says in John 10:10, he talks about the thief and he talks about himself. He says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. He says, but I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. He talks about himself being a good shepherd after that, and what he does for the sheep is he lays down his life. Now, in that idea of having life to the full, Jesus talks about abundant life. Jesus talks about, it's for freedom that I've set you free. Jesus talks about the coming of the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. And so much of what we've talked about in the last couple weeks of responses to grace, that we've been enlivened by the Spirit, realizing that we can't do it on our own, realizing that we're coming to believe that God is good, that he loves us, that he's just, that he can overcome these things in our lives, and that we've placed our trust in him. And then in that trust, in that right identity with him, he's going, I want abundant life for you. Like, I don't want you to be enslaved any longer. The thief comes to kill and destroy. He wants you to stay enslaved. I've come that you might have life. But in that, those responses to grace, perfect timing for Brad's message last Sunday, if you heard it, you know, when he was talking about in 2 Peter, this idea that, you know, the previous week, we've been getting everything that we need for life and godliness. But then he said, you know, this week, it's that idea of now in that, preserve in that grace, like live out that grace actively, take steps of faith, trusting that God is good and is who he says he is. So amends is one of those ideas that's really a huge trust of grace. I remember when I walked through these gospel transformation steps, you know, I guess formally, maybe last year, but have been, you know, really over the last 4 years walking these things out. This was a scary step for me because it came to light as I was, you know, working through my inventory, other things like that, that there was things in my life that when in Romans it says that we're to live at peace for as much as it depends on us to live at peace with all people. Realizing that as I went through my inventory, I'm like, I'm not at peace with all people. I'm not. There's debts that I owe before men that I don't live with them in a sense of shalom, a sense of like we're in the garden together, God is king, I have peace with these people. Like, I didn't feel that. That was not my reality. That was not life abundant. There was not freedom in those relationships. And so I'll just give you one example of one that I was like, oh, really, Lord? Like, you're going to bring that to mind? And you heard my story when we started this, that, you know, that journey of needing people's approval, fearing rejection, you know, caring, like being exposed to pornography, that growing up with my journey with the Lord, running there really rather than learning to run to Christ in a lot of different areas. And so then I told you kind of some breaking points. And one was being here on staff at the Well, writing sermons, fearing what people were going to think, running to pornography at the same time of like preparing sermons here at the Well and just going, oh man, what, my heart's divided. Like there's things in there, Lord, that you've got to root out. And that was really one of those like smelling salts moments, kind of like the prodigal son where it says that he was eating the slop of the pigs. And then it says he came to himself. And those appreciate that moment where the Lord went, do you see what's going on in your heart? Well, in that process of God beginning to root those things out, came to this idea of, or not idea, but biblical concept of like Nicodemus, where Jesus makes him alive in Christ. And he goes, oh my gosh, I owe some people some things. Like, I've wronged some people horizontally. Now that I'm right vertically, I have wronged people horizontally. So God brought that to mind, just being here at the well, being a pastor at the well. I'm like, I've wronged people. Like, Brad and the staff and the elders have entrusted me with a role here that I have not fully been faithful to. And so in that process, really felt called to make amends to Brad, you know, and the elders too, but Brad represented the elders to me in that moment. And so I remember sitting down with Brad in an office upstairs, his office, I think it was probably a year and a half or 2 years ago, and just going, Brad, I want to sit down and I want to acknowledge and I want to confess to you that, you know, while I was on staff here at the well, writing sermons that you entrusted me to teach to our congregation, that I was unfaithfully looking at pornography at the same time, and that I was using a work computer to do it. And I would ask you to forgive me. But not only would I ask you to forgive me, I want to do as much as I can to repay what has been harmed there. And so if there is people that I need to talk to, if there is things that need to be brought to light before not only you but others, also I want to repay with my time off. Like, you've given me PTO, which says that I have time to have vacation. Well, that was time that I stole from the well, to be doing things that were not work. And I would like to offer, you know, I think I told him like 3 or 4 days of my PTO, just to say, I want to make up for as much as I can, knowing that grace is going to have to cover, but as much as I can to offer that. And then I just said, and I'd love to hear from you if there's anything else that needs to be done that I might be able to repay that harm that I've done. I said I was not a good representation of the King that has freed me in those moments, and I long to walk in a newness of light. And I want you to know too that my heart is in light now, that I have people in my life that I'm known fully, that I'm going to continue to walk in light. And here's how I'm continuing to walk in light in this area, so that I might build back trust by being on staff here at the well. I was nervous about that conversation. And the beauty of it was I was fine either with whatever Brad said, because God had challenged my heart that needed to take place. For as much as it depended on me to live at peace with him, but also in the environment that I was in, because it was a low-grade tension that if anyone really ever knew, that, like, you know, something, I don't know, the enemy had it, right? It was playing around in my head. And God had really just shown me that's a debt that you owe, in a sense, to the place you work. And so Brad was amazing in that moment. He reminded me of God's grace. He said, I don't need your time off. I'm thankful for what God's doing in your life. He's like, I actually trust you more by bringing this to me. And he's like, I'm thankful for the journey the Lord has you on. It's not just your journey. It's the journey of all of us. And it was a beautiful moment for him and I. We have a tighter relationship because of that moment, which I wouldn't have thought would have been the case. I thought it would be something different. But it was a kingdom moment in my life where God challenged me in a loving way to go, I want more freedom for you. Will you take a step of obedience in this and trust that I'm going to meet you in it? Now, it could have gone a different way, and I think I still would have been okay, because God had challenged me to live that out regardless of his response in that moment, for as much as it depended on me to live at peace. And so I share that as an example of, like, that was one of the things that God brought to mind. I don't know what God's bringing to mind for you guys, but it goes back to an understanding of, if God isn't good, if he is not trustworthy, then why in the world would I ever do something like that? If he doesn't have our best interest in mind, if he doesn't want flourishing and wholeness for us, those kind of things are absurd. Why would we ever take an inventory? Why would we ever confess our sins to one another? Why would we ever live out forgiveness if we haven't been forgiven? Like, all this stuff is upside down. But if it's real, if Christ is who he says he is, and he wants a life that's counter to the world that we live in, counter to the flesh that easily clings to us, then and these are amazing opportunities to walk this stuff out. And so the hope would be, again, with gospel transformation, that the good ideas that stay on the pages of Scripture are good ideas that stay on the pages of Scripture. but when they become our very life, when we build our house on them. You know, those who hear these words of mine and build their house on them, they're the wise builder. You know, when he says, you know, it just so odd, James would say that faith without works is dead, but I'll show you my faith by my works, right? That I trust God, that he is good, and that I live out of that grace, not out of obligation. Did anything I do right in that moment make me saved? No. Did anything in that moment make me more loved by God? No. But I got to experience the kingdom more than I had before in that moment. So those are the opportunities with the things we're going to. Let me pass out this last kind of sheet here that we're going to talk a little bit about today, and then I'll get you guys in groups. Anybody, and this, you don't, if you want to, you can talk about it. If not, did anybody have a chance to write out an amends that they want to make this week? Anybody have a chance to look at that? You don't have to say what it is, but no? All right. Again, I know that these are shot across the bows, right? So these are things to live into. My hope is that this summer, that these could be devotional type things that you come back to maybe throughout your summer. And just process through in the community that you walk in as you go on. So I wrote the next three steps that we're not going to get to. So continue. We continue to take personal moral inventory. And when we sin, promptly confess and turn and walk with God. So, you know, Psalms talks about this prayer of the psalmist to God saying, search me, search my heart. If there be any grievous way in me, reveal it. And that I might confess it, that I might forsake it, that I might walk in a way everlasting. That's not a one-time ethic, right? That's our lives. And that's every day claiming the grace that's there and then living into growth in Christ in those moments where we bring it to light. 1 John, if we confess our sins to one, you know, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's an ongoing ethic of those things. And so how to keep living that way, continuing to live in a sense of gospel transformation because grace is there every day. So that's step 10, intimacy. We seek to deepen our relationship with God daily and depend on his power to do his will. So part of what you're going to talk about today is how do you grow in intimacy with Christ that residency is finishing up? How do you continue to abide in him where it's not like, oh, I did this thing, this program, and now, like, man, I'm dried up, and I need another thing to continue to sustain me. It's like, no, how do we live in an ongoing sustaining ethic with the Lord? Who are the people we need to surround ourselves with? Where do we find life in abiding with him? Whether that be our car rides, whether that be ways that you best connect to God on a daily basis, that you would find yourself centered upon the cross, but centered upon the finished work of Christ in your life, reminding yourself of who you are in him and what your mission is in life. And then step 12 is regenerate. Experiencing regeneration in Christ, we carry God's message of reconciliation to others and practice these biblical principles in every aspect of our lives. 2 Corinthians talks about, you know, we're new creations, that we've been reconciled by God, by his finished work through Jesus, that we've been made alive in him, and then we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We're ambassadors of Christ's message of wholeness to the world. And so these, as we've been restored, God calls us the oaks of righteousness that would be repairs of the breach, that we have this beautiful opportunity to not hold on to what we've received, that we might give it to others. And I'll guarantee your best ministry is going to come out of your most wounded place. It's just what God says. He says use broken vessels, cracked pots, to let his light shine the brightest through. And so if you're willing to share your gospel regeneration story with others, guarantee that that's probably going to be your greatest ministry to other people. Not out of your being able to teach the planks to somebody or to be able to do whatever. Like, those are great things, but God's probably going to use your weakness more than he's going to use your strength to draw people to himself. The world's looking for authentic people who are being put together by an amazing God, and we're not him. And so allowing yourself to be present with people and to share your story of what Christ is doing and has done, and not necessarily the one where it's a tidy bow at the end. How many of you are still in process like me? Every single one of you. But the beauty is that God is at work and that you are saved by grace and you have peace with God. There's a world that's waiting to hear that. People want to know that they can be known by the King of the universe, forgiven, freed, and have a purpose in this life. And so that's what you know. That's what you're living. So we're going to do this. We're going to take about 15 minutes, and we're going to work out that idea again of a wilderness plan. So flip over to the back of this page here. So it says activity. Spend 15 minutes alone to answer the questions below, and then work on your post residency gospel transformation wilderness plan. Then you're going to get together in groups and just share these in groups of like three. So if you have a group of six that you're normally in, break up into groups of three so you all have a chance to process through this. And I do want you to answer this too before you start with that, is what has been your biggest takeaway, step, discovery about God, of yourself, over the past 10 weeks of gospel transformation that you're willing to share with your small group? And so that's your first question to answer. And then from there, I'm just going to read this section here. On the far side of the Red Sea, the Israelites rejoiced in the victory God had provided over their enemies. The ransom he provided at the Passover, the plunder of Egypt, silver, gold, and clothing, and daily manna, all gracious provisions from the Redeemer. They were out of Egypt, and they were rich. They weren't home yet, but God had provided everything they needed for the journey through the wilderness. He even provided a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to show them the way forward to the promised land. Walking through this gospel transformation process is like finding yourself right there on the far side of the Red Sea with newfound freedom and wealth in God's grace and the wilderness journey up ahead. You're not home yet. There's still more trial, more blessing, and more challenge in your life yet to come, but God has given you everything you need for the journey, the generous provision of His grace, people to travel with, and guidance by His Holy Spirit about what next steps to take. The question now is, where is He leading you to go next? And so in that, you're going to answer these questions. So pillars, what next steps is the Holy Spirit leading you to take as He guides you? Like those pillars of cloud and fire leading through the wilderness. So name specific areas of faith, whether that be repentance, forgiveness, amends. An example being specific, I'm going to confess my sin of harsh words to Jane. Ask her for forgiveness and pursue reconciliation. So if there's pieces of what we've walked through in gospel transformation that you're like, man, God has made it clear, I need to step into X and Y. Write those things down. It may even be, gosh, I really want to finish up my inventory and I want to share it with my safe person. Maybe that, man, I want to establish a rhythm of daily abiding with Christ, and here's what it needs to look like. Maybe, man, I'm avoiding these things, so I want to talk to somebody about why I find myself avoiding, like, leaning into these areas. I don't know. Like, pray through that. God probably has a couple things on your heart. It doesn't have to be 5 or 10. Just write down, like, three. What are three next steps that you're thinking about your life, post-residency, post-gospel transformation, that you feel like are pillars? And then go flip the page. Provisions. What are those provisions of God's grace that you've come to see more clearly and cherish through the gospel transformation process? That may be like, wow, I need to remember my identity in Christ. Like, I've got to have that in front of me every day. That's one of the things for me. I have to have that in front of me every day because I have had beat myself up for so long with lies that I've got to remind myself of truth every day about who God says that I am, because I just don't believe it. And so, like, literally, 3x5 card is, for me, it's Evernote. Got like a daily reminder, like note in Evernote, that I force myself to read every day. Sometimes it's more profound than other days, but it's truth. And it's like the scripture, and here's who I am, here's who God is. Dave, don't forget this as you're walking through your day. What do you need to remember? What things have you learned, like, oh, wow, forgiveness is real, grace is sufficient. Like, what has He shown you? What are His provisions? And then people. Who are the people God has placed around you to join you in this journey? Or whom is he calling you to seek out? With whom will you walk? If you're on an island, admit it. Just go, I think I'm alone. And once residency's over, I'm not sure who those people are. I don't have anybody who I do life with, who I would live out 1 John with, to say I have true fellowship as I'm walking in light. I don't have anybody. Great. That's a great acknowledgement. And to go, I need to pray about finding 1 to 2 people that I can start regularly living out 1 John with, where we're bringing things to light, praying for one another, encouraging one another. If you don't have it, like, that's a life group. Seek that out. Talk to Eric. Like, let's get you connected. What do those things look like? And you could be in a life group and still very unknown. So if you're that place, acknowledge it. Just go, I need to be known. What does that look like? Who are the people that are the closest to you that you're going to walk the next steps out with, knowing God never calls us to walk solo in this journey of faith? And so, and I'd say, don't keep it general. Specific names. Who are your peeps? Who are the folks you're going to walk with? What does that look like that you're going to walk with them? What needs to grow in that? Or what needs to reestablish now that your season of life is different now that residency is over? Okay? Is that clear enough? Put some ideas on paper. Don't let it stay nebulous. But also don't think it has to be perfectly laid out. I mean, planned out. I just want to force you to put some stuff down. Post-residency, post-gospel transformation, what's the plan? Okay? So from 6:27 until about 6:45, you're going to be working on this individually. I'll blow the whistle at 6:45. We'll have you guys jump into groups for about 15 minutes. Process through this. If any of you did make amends to anybody, or even, you know, like think about, wow, this is a thing I feel called to do, share that too. And then I'm going to call you back together, all of you, at 7. I'm going to give you a quick survey to help me think through this time for residents for next year. I know you've taken a lot of surveys in here and you've been giving feedback, but thank you for doing that again. And then we'll take a picture at 7:10 from there. Okay? Fair enough? Ready, break. You guys spread out wherever you want and work on this. Okay? So 15 minutes solo, and then you'll work in groups. Thank you.